that time again. What time is it? Mow the lawn? Farm chickens? No, it's time for a Don Deal. And here's our producer, Brian Kilby.
Hey, Don, people can participate by calling 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. Turn off or mute the RSC live stream if you're watching when you call. But if you're participating from Twitter, that's great. You won't be hearing that. When you hear us on the other end, you're the next caller. Wait for me to tell you that you're on and give us your name and where you're calling from. And basically ask your question, get in, get out. We'll drop you after you ask. Then we'll respond on the podcast. So you can share your thoughts on the news, what happened on this week's RFC, whatever. So if you want to talk about new Masterpiece toys that popped up last week, you can do that. Anything else, give us a call, whatever.
Well, do we get our first call? I'll talk about the new Masterpiece toys real quick. I'll just talking on those, on my thoughts. Megatron looks great. Love the way he looks. Like everybody else, a little worried about the price. But as we talked about on this week's RFC, he doesn't have to do as much magic powder transformation as Dinobot. So I'm hoping that, plus the lack of applicable accessories, will keep his price below Dinobot level, or at least not any more than that. Corden, I'm going to have to get Corden. Getting Sunstreaker wasn't that important because I had Sunsurge, and Sunsurge was a perfectly fine masterpiece, but I think Corden will be a nice way to get that mold and have something different. Brian, you said we have a caller?
Yeah, so we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Ernest Frazier.
Hey, Ernest.
Oklahoma. My question is about the leaks of War for Cybertron involving the Battle Masters thing. Do you think those are going to be new target masters that can turn into other weapons besides just guns?
Hey, so real quick, Ernest, is that a leak or is that just a rumor? I saw some rumors pop up about War for Cybertron.
I don't know, but I still would like to know what your thoughts are.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Go ahead, Don.
My thoughts are, just based on the name, I'm thinking we're looking at kind of like mini-cons that can separate, kind of like what they did for that Robots in Disguise subline that came with power armor. But I'm thinking we're looking at like a small pretender shell size character, or maybe a little bit bigger than that. That is a figure, but instead of transforming, it basically is like a Yusha Brave power up character that gives you gauntlets or chest armor or a weapon. Maybe it'll give Megatron rocket skates. You know, I'm just saying, literally, it could be just a companion figure that will basically fight alongside you. And then you power link to get armor, or let's say Perceptor is a character in War for Cybertron, and his Battle Master partner gives him a targeting scope for his cannon mode, or something along those lines. So that there's got to be some kind of connectivity with a larger character, unless they're like our version of Armus Micron, where they just become one weapon, like they're target masters, but they're, or just they're weapon masters in general.
So, Don, what are you basing that on?
Completely out of my butt, but it just seems like with a name like Battle Masters, it has to have something to do with weapons, and you also have to have the interaction between the larger characters in the line. Otherwise, what's the point of having the smaller characters if this is a cheaper price point?
Cool.
So, and maybe it's like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
Okay, I'll say, or maybe it's like the Armada Minicon gimmick, but improved, where it's not as intrusive, and you plug the Battle Master into the character to get a weapon pop up, a missile to launch. So an improvement on the Armada concept without actually kind of ruining or limiting the toy like Minicons did.
Cool. So we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Sean from Alabama.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey. My question is concerning retail in general. With Walmart pretty much just eliminating the larger sizes and Target doesn't seem to have him, is this like an opportunity for Amazon to just wipe out everybody else and take over the market? Or are we looking at a growth in things like Big Bad Toy Store, Transformer Source? I just wanted to hear y'all's opinions.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean.
Well, having worked retail most of my life, literally, I started working retail when I was 16 and pretty much have been in it my entire life. I think what we're seeing here is basically the natural ebb and flow of there's no toy line. They're scaling the lines that have no big summer presence. They're scaling back on, just because they've clearanced out the Power of the Prime stuff doesn't mean that we're not going to be seeing bigger size classes for War for Cybertron. I think it's just there's such an ebb and flow. Plus, right now with the closing of Toys R Us, to a lesser degree, the closing of Kmart, you've lost for all of Kmart's issues through the last several years. They were still a major retail location for a lot of people. Plus, now with Toys R Us closing, no one knows what's going to happen next. Amazon can come in and do that, but I think it's just market fluctuations responding to these changes.
I think it has to do with us pulling out of the Iran deal and the cost of petroleum going up. I mean, it's already an issue with we already have issues with the cost of petroleum and creating plastic. And I mean, you see how transformers are now hollow. If the price of transformers go up, I don't think we'll be able to, honestly, I don't think we'll be able to sustain like leader class toys for anything close to a reasonable price. It goes back to the fact that what Aaron Archer said was he doesn't think that this is sustainable, this toy thing. And this is, I think, further evidence of that. And hey, we have another caller on the line if we want to go to it. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Adam from Maryland.
Hey, Adam.
So, question I have is, I can't remember if Hasbro said in the upcoming War for Cybertron line that's coming, are we getting a Titan class figure? And if so, what do you think it'll be?
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man. Well, see, with them introducing Hasbro Labs and that Java sail barge, I don't know if we're going to be seeing like the figure for War for Cybertron being under the Hasbro Lab banner for the crowdfunding option to get a bigger figure like Unicron, or if it'll be that's reserved for something even more impressive. Maybe I really don't know what could be more impressive. I'm going to say animated Omega Supreme, just something that they want to judge the interest and see if they can get that built up in advance before they make it. You know, the oddball stuff, the bigger stuff like Jabba Cell Barge, maybe a G.I. Joe flag. That's the kind of stuff I see going to the Hasbro Lab stuff. But I do think we will see a Titan class figure and more for Cybertron. And like Diecast says, it'll probably be Unicron, because for all we know, Unicron is the one that is creating all this conflict like he did in Universe to harvest and to a lesser degree Energon, to harvest the energy from the conflict to maybe Unicron in this new trilogy. Unicron is the planet they're on, and he's trying to reawaken, and Primus is a different planet, and they have to go find Primus instead of being on Primus. I don't know. It's just feel either way, but I think we'll see a Titan class figure in War for Cybertron, but I don't know which way they'll go to do it, whether it'll be like Trypticon as a regular release or if it'll be crowdfunded through the Hasbro Lab.
Hey, and to answer Adam's question, no, they haven't said whether or not there's a Titan class figure yet in War for Cybertron. And going back to what we were talking about a minute ago, if the cost of petroleum is a factor, there may not be. So,
I think that factor would be why it would become a HasLab thing instead of a direct retail offering at that point.
Yeah. Hey, John, you wanted to bring up a topic real quick?
Yeah, sure. Buy or sell Dawn. The Bumblebee movie will be number one at the box office in week number two.
Okay.
Buy or sell. You're going to buy. Are you buying the idea that Bumblebee, the movie, will be number one at the box office week number two, or are you going to sell that and tell us that Bumblebee the movie will obviously hopefully be number one week one?
Not
but
so
after
obvious.
That,
I see.
It'll be tough, but
not so obvious.
I see what you do. Yeah, I'm not really pinning a lot of hopes on this Bumblebee movie being that well received, just because of the way the negative effect from the last night carried over to the whole franchise, basically. I mean, last night made money. It just didn't make all the money, you know. And as we all know, they want all the money, not just some. So I think it may do well the opening weekend, but I think it's going to be like a lot of movies. It's going to, if it does hit number one, it'll drop like a rock in the subsequent week. I don't see it actually being there. If it even gets there, maybe three, maybe number two. If it does hit number one, it's because there's probably nothing else opening that weekend worth a flip. And then the next big movie, it'll drop.
So I think Aquaman is opening the same weekend as Bumblebee is supposed to.
Oh, well, boy, mark your calendars, people.
That's a terrible weekend. Oh,
no, but I was also going to say, with Bumblebee's movie having such a lower production budget than any of the previous Transformers movies, it doesn't even necessarily have to pull, you know, number one box office numbers to be a financial success and be looked on favorably by the studio.
Plus, there's always the slim hope that maybe since they couldn't confuse them, they couldn't astound us with special effects and explosions, they put more time into plot and character development. I can't even say that with a straight face.
Don, I have another one. I can make this a buy or sell. Here we go. Buy or sell, Street Fighter Cross Power Rangers. There's apparently a crossover happening in a mobile fighting game. Are you buying or selling this as the greatest crossover since the dawn of mankind?
It may not be the greatest crossover, but it'll be one of the biggest in recent memory. Because you have a hugely loyal Street Fighter base, yourself included. And Power Ranger fans are legion. I mean, there's just no way to count. I think they are. I think there's a lot more Power Ranger fans out there that are starving for something a little more, you know, I guess accessible. I mean, the movie's fine. I liked the movie. The movie was better than I thought it would be. But a mobile game that's maybe free to download, and people that just like fighting games in general, it's like one of my favorite fighting games was Turtle Tournament Fighters on the SNES.
Oh,
geez. It wasn't because it was turtles, but it was a damn good fighting game.
Okay.
So you know.
I love dying more every day.
Hey, so Don, hey, we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? What's your question or comment?
Oh, hey, y'all. This is Garrett. I just wanted to say that Unique Toys movie Optimus with the really pretty forearms, I had a question about that. It has actually a chest pocket that you can put the staff in like you did in The Last Knight, which had me thinking, why don't we have any Transformers toys as of now that have pockets? Like, this is literally the first one ever. Is it like, don't you think that should be a thing or no?
Well, technically, you could say Drift had pockets because his generation's toy, the doors became scabbards, and those could technically be called pockets. I would think you could call them pockets. Animated Ratchet, if you remember, Prime Ratchet. It wasn't actually shown in the instructions, but you could hide his daggers in his legs in robot mode. So that could technically be pockets as well. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things you could call pockets based on a different Transformers physiology. It's a nice add-on, but does it really make the figure a must-buy? I don't think so. You know, I think as long as there's sensible storage on a figure and you're not just like sticking the sword to the top of a truck's cab and say, there's your storage, you know, I think you'll be good.
So just heads up for everybody watching live. I think we're at basically our halfway point for the episode. So we'll probably be taking calls for another 10 minutes as we try to work our way through some questions. Jason, we have a question from the chat.
Yeah, we sure do. This comes from, I want to say it's Eclipsis. I will ruin your names from the chat just so everyone knows. So prepare for that. His question is regarding third-party Shockwaves. And I'm actually interested in this too, because I think the car has priced me out of an official Shockwave, unfortunately. Quake Blast versus Quake Wave, who you got?
Unfortunately, I don't have either on a personal level. Now they're both the same mold, it's just different colors, right? Or am I thinking of two different products?
They're similar. Basically the same transformation, but Cloud 9 changed the legs on it a little bit. to be a little bit more cartoon accurate.
Right. Now, the other, and Fans Toys did the other one, correct? Fans Toys was the first one that did Quake Wave?
Yes.
Yep. Based on the history that I have with Fans Toys, I'm going to say Fans Toys as a default answer. Not to slight Cloud9, but not having any experience with them, I don't know their build quality, and I kind of know what Fans Toys does on a regular basis with what we've got so far. So I'm gonna say Fans Toys just because lack of knowledge with Cloud9, but I'm not slighting either figure. But I do think you're definitely right that we are getting, because I mean you can buy the first Shockwave at about $120 at several places now. They're on clearance for $120 with the coin, I believe, and the new one is $200 plus. And I haven't actually looked in detail, but I think the paint job is the main difference, and the coin maybe the coin's different. I don't know. I just can't see paying $90 more for a paint job unless the toy colors is that important to you, to be honest. But again, it depends on what your shelf looks like, you know.
Cool. So we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's the question or comment?
It's me, Ernest, again.
Hey, Ernest.
I was wondering what Don would think Chance has of buying Pioneers for a Pioneers versus Transformers comic series. Would you buy or not that read that well?
Well, thank you, man. I'll be honest, I am so out of comics now. I just got sick of it. I really, really got sick of a lot of comics.
What if it was a Regeneration 1 Transformers versus Power Rangers? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I don't know. It honestly, it's like, as much as I love Visionaries, I have not bought the new Visionaries book yet.
I'm sorry, I got to say this, and I will stop jumping over you. If it were a comic of the Malaysian headmaster's dubs versus Dynaman, I would buy every single variant cover of that, every single issue, and I'll shut up.
Well, I would too, because that way I have something to burn in the winter if the power goes out. But I'll just be honest. I might would get it, but I have been so jaded by comics at this point. Getting interested in characters, getting reading these stories, getting involved with these events, and then them throwing the characters away in a cheap publicity series, forgetting about them, breaking up the teams and doing nothing with them, yet not letting anyone else use them. That's pretty much why I stopped reading Marvel after Avengers Academy just pretty much broke me of wanting to read most anything Marvel because I was sick of it. And I don't know. I would like to think I would check it out, but I'll be honest, I'm so jaded at this point, I don't even really miss not getting comics. So I wish I could be a little more positive.
I think it would be an awesome idea, and sorry to jump in, but I got to say it because I could totally see it. The Autobots have to leave Earth for whatever reason, for something important on Cybertron. So they go to the Power Rangers and they say, can you watch Earth for, you know, a week or two while we're gone? And then they just fight like Devastator or Menasor or any of the, you know, the Decepticon combiners, because I think that would be like a really good matchup with the Zords. So, yeah, I think that would work, especially for like a, you know, how they have those special comic crossovers where they do like three or four comics in that series, and that's it. I think that would be a good idea.
I'll say this. The only thing, the downside is that whenever I hear two really strange crossovers that sound good on paper, I think of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action show crossing in with Power Rangers for that one episode.
That was great, and Don. You shut up.
And it just, no, I'm sorry. That's just what I think of sometimes.
So I want to get in my buy or sell before we have another caller on the line. We'll take calls for another 5 minutes, and we'll get a couple of these things out. So, Don, this is a genuine buy or sell. Should I buy, meaning keep, my Fans Toys Sovereign, or should I sell it? The reason being, one, I'm not that in love with the toy. Two, God, at some point, Takara has to come out with a Masterpiece Galvatron. And I don't want to sun surge this. I don't want to wait until Galvatron is announced before trying to divest myself of it.
Well, your reasons, they sell.
I think Brian, you're going to have to ask yourself one thing. Are you, if you sell Sovereign now and striking while the iron's hot, do you mind having nothing on the shelf to represent Galvatron?
I've got plenty of toys to represent Galvatron.
Well, I mean, at that level.
Considering I don't have lots of characters that I love represented. Yeah, okay. I think so.
I'd say go ahead and sell them, but before the price, before the inevitable announcement. I honestly think MP50 when they finally get to the point of announce, you know, because they want to do something special for MP50. My running theory is they're still going to redo MP01 with some new upgrades because that
you mean
is
MP10.
No, MP01.
You mean MP10?
No, I mean MP01. Since that's the one that started the whole line, a refreshed figure might do well. But if they're going to go with something,
MP10.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but other than that, I believe that we will see Galvatron, and I think he'll be the 50th figure because that's the one I think everybody's waiting for at this point, is getting a good masterpiece Galvatron. So if you don't mind waiting for that, and basically you'll be like me, you'll be waiting for your RC at that point. So if you don't mind having that hole in your shelf, go ahead and sell it while you can.
Considering that Sovereign right now is in the very back and I can't even see it, I think I'll be okay.
And the other thing, too, is, like, we're getting Masterpiece Beast Wars Megatron. That means that there's nothing we can't get now.
Yes.
Right.
Jazz? Can we get a Jazz?
Well, when the licensing works out,
and I just want a Jazz.
And I'm fine, actually, with keeping Downbeat. Downbeat wasn't that expensive. Fans Toys Sovereign was an expensive toy. So, if I could recoup some of that, I would be fine. And honestly, I got several things I need to throw up on eBay on this weekend because, not counting stuff that was in my PayPal account, I had to pull like $150 out of the family checking account today. So I should replenish that as quickly as I can because I don't want Kim to see it. Hey, John, do you have any more buy and sells that you want to go through?
Let me see here. Let me check the show notes. Producing on the air, live in color. Let's see here. What do I got?
While John's doing that, I just want to bring up a point Blade Raider made in response to Don's prediction for MP50. That sounds really boring.
Yeah, I could see that.
Right. I mean, hot take.
But what if he was like cell shaded, or if he was, you know, refreshed with an animation color versus the toy colors? So I'm just saying I can't see them not pulling out MP01 at some point for something major.
Do you mean the actual mold? I thought you meant taking MP01 and then making another Masterpiece Optimus in that scale.
No, I'm saying reissuing MP01.
Oh God, no!
In some kind of fashion.
Where are my old signs? I need the No Dawn sign.
okay. Let's say they released that MP01 as cell shaded. Would that not be something unique for the line?
No, not really.
I mean, I don't want them to reissue my teenage acne. Some things are just, you know, better left in the past.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, Don?
Hey,
you know what I'm saying.
Let's.
We'll see.
So I think we're done with callers for today. So let's go ahead and get a few more of the buy or sell out, and then we'll leave it on the table.
Okay, I like this one because it's a throwback, and you know, we may put this one into practice in the fall. Okay, so Don, buy or sell your chances of having 3 meals a day during a Transformers convention weekend? What are the odds, man, that you're going to put 3 squares away Friday, Saturday, and or Sunday if you're at a Transformers convention?
You ain't.
So, okay, so following up from that, which of the 3 meals do you need to prioritize? Like, if you're only going to get 2 or maybe 1 of the 3 meals, which one are you going to like try to accomplish during a Transformers weekend?
Breakfast. Unless you ate real late the night before, you need to get a breakfast in you, because otherwise come midday you're going to be starving. You'll be in the middle of panels, so you'll either have to run and get something that's super expensive in the hotel that you're in or the convention center, and then run back to the panel room and hope that someone will save your seat. But if you get breakfast, you'll be full. You can go through the day. You maybe grab a snack out of the machine or out of your backpack if you've taken some with you. And then in the afternoon when the show wraps up and then you've got your free time or you've got your event later on that night, if there's some kind of Friday or Saturday event, then you can have whatever dinner there is or go out with friends. So, but I think breakfast is the best one because you won't be having to sacrifice panels and you won't feel like crap the rest of the day.
I agree with that. Breakfast is the easiest meal to miss at a convention, and I think it's the one that you should absolutely focus on hitting, especially if you're walking around, you know, a lot. To your point, you should at the very least have some protein bars or something in your pocket.
Yeah. And, you know, from a dynamic standpoint, yeah, sometimes the hotel breakfasts are a little expensive, but if you compare that to maybe not eating that morning and then grabbing a burger or something from the hotel restaurant, and then that's probably going to cost you almost as much as the breakfast did. And then when you're done with the breakfast, you can probably grab a couple of bananas, an apple or something, and have them in your backpack from the bowl of fruit that I'll inevitably have.
What about some room temperature pizza?
Oh, that's the best.
Oh, man, I can't wait. Hey, also, even though it is like overpriced for what it's worth, those hotels tend to have a breakfast buffet. So
yeah, that's
if
what
you
I, yeah,
really
that's what want
to load up, you can get your money's worth.
Is Fans Project going to make any new molds, buy or sell? Buy meaning they are, sell meaning no.
They might make them, but will we see them? That's the main thing. You know, this upcoming Monstructor from their Saurus Ryuo could be the last thing they do, since their output has been so sporadic over the past year or two.
Well, I wasn't even counting that, because that's a recolor, right?
Well, with a remolded head, so they had at least had to go back and do that.
All right.
So unless Fans Project has actually become Fans Toys, is what some of the running rumors is. I don't think if we see any Fans Project output, it'll be sporadic, and they might be working with other third party companies, doing work with them to stay in business, and then producing their own product as we go. I really don't know what's going on. It's a shame because Fans Project was doing so good there for so long, and then it just seemed to just all fall apart for some reason. So I think they're going to have plans, but I don't think we're going to see them with any kind of regularity like we used to.
Cool. Love it. Last buy or sell for this week, at least from that John D at that John D on Twitter. Buy or sell, Don, that GoGoGoBots is better than Rescue Bots. As a toy line.
As a toy line, yeah. Because you do have a little more articulation, you have a little more functionality, a little more playability. But I think since the Rescue Bots had the better cartoon, the play pattern that the kids would enjoy is more with Rescue Bots, because you have a broader tapestry of characters and scenes for the kids to reenact. So the toys are more limited, but I think the universe the kids would be playing in would be more vibrant.
Brian, back to you.
Didn't Diecast have a buy or sell that he wanted to get in?
I do have a couple more that I wrote down that, same thing, Toy World, will there be any new molds? Buy or sell?
Again, that's, I'm not trying to cop out on that, but again, what we've been seeing from Toy World lately has not been some of their best stuff, like Leia. I mean, you have to actually wonder what the thought process to make a figure like Leia was. It's like they literally ran out of money to finish the figure and had to produce what they had to get the money back. That's what it feels like to me. I think we'll see Toy World, but again, in a very more limited structure than what we've got from them in the past. But they, too, have done very good toys. I mean, those throttle bots they made are very good toys. You know, Grindrod, Orion. They're all really nice figures. It's just lately their stuff has not been hitting on all pars. And that Leia, because they were the first person to get a third-party Leia out that wasn't the upscaled Generations one, which I don't really call that a masterpiece.
So, Don, I want to break that down first. You said the first to get a third-party Leia.
I should say RC.
No, well, yeah. Would you count the MMC version?
That one hasn't come out yet, right?
No, that one was out a long time ago.
Azalea.
Yeah. Oh God.
I'm saying strictly masterpiece is what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, because years ago there was Impossible Toys and iGear also had their versions of RC out at the more classic scale.
iGear had an RC? I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was Delicate Warrior, right?
Oh,
God, that name.
Yeah, I think, but despite the name, that was actually the better of the two. The other one was Valkyrie, which was notoriously a floppy, fragile mess.
Right, which they used Impossible for that Toys.
I have the Nightbird one. Yeah, I have the Nightbird version. Yeah.
But I was talking about getting an MPRC out there. Toy World could have made the definitive RC that people would want in their collection as a masterpiece to go on their movie / season 3 shelf. And they failed miserably. I'm not saying that as an RC fan. I'm saying that as a Transformer fan who wants to buy a figure and get all of the figure. I mean, really, if you've seen the pictures of that figure, you know what I'm talking about. So I think we'll still see Toy World putting out output, but I'm hoping it'll be less done less frequently, but better quality that I know they're capable of, just like Fans Project.
And then that brings me up to my last toy or buy or sell. Toy World Leia, buy or sell.
Burn it with fire.
That's an answer, too.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If that thing got down to like super dirt cheap later on, I would have gotten it just for the robot mode. But having the two-tone legs that don't even match the die-cast on the legs, that doesn't even match the rest of the paint on the body, they had one job, was to paint the figure right. And they didn't even do that. So, no, I would not unless you just want an RC for yourself, you want her as dirt cheap as possible, to sit her in the back and say, okay, season 3 is complete. And you don't care about the quality of the figure other than just the representation that's there. And you want to move on to something more important, yeah, but that's the only thing I can recommend. That it's a place filler for a character you don't care about a better version. Other than that, because if people buy it, that'll give them an idea, hey, they're buying this figure that's actually pretty much unfinished. Let's do the next figure just like that, since they're buying this one and we're putting less money into it. That's a croc.
Okay, so Don, I think this is our last buy or sell for this week. I'm going to represent Rodimus Supreme and adapt one of his comments from the chat. Buy or sell Rescue Bots in Classics or Generations.
Buy.
Rescue Bots characters and designs.
Buy.
Good answer.
Buy.
Good answer.
I agree.
I have been saying that for years. We need these characters in Generations, in Power of the Primes, in War, I mean, even War for Cybertron, what they might have looked like with shades of their Earth modes built in. But you've already got established characters, and you got people that are, I mean, there are older fans that, like, I like Rescue Bots. It was a charming show. There was no real violence. The excitement came from the rescues and everything. And again, I know it wasn't made for me. I'm well aware of that. I'm like 40 years above the bell curve on that one. But it was still a charming show that I liked. And to see them get actual better toys, it's like right here. I've got Quick Shadow. Now, she's the only Rescue Bot I've got, mainly because she's voiced by River Song. I'm sorry. I kind of had to get her. But would that not look great as like a companion piece to Moonracer, Nova Star, Alita 1 in a War for Cybertron style design that was Combiner War compatible with the Alita 1? Because she could have easily been a member of Alita's 1 team on Cybertron. And so for, you've got a character that you know that you can relate to as a fan, but with a better, more normal body. Because I think of these as like, to use Gundam, this is an SD Gundam to me. There's nothing wrong with it, but it is somewhat limited as far as what you can do with it versus getting a real mode or a real figure.
Cool. So, coming off of that, Don, let's talk about money being left on the table and wrap up the show for this week.
All righty. I've been thinking about this, and this is sort of a follow-up to an earlier thing that I've said before about how in the future Hasbro is, and this is something that Brian alluded to as well, and what Aaron Archer said about this making toys out of oil is not sustainable. And I've said in the past, what we're going to be seeing is downloading, buying a CAD file, and printing your own figure within a certain amount of time. What I would like to say, what I think they're going to do, if they don't do this, when the technology is available to do it properly, is being able to let people go online through a lot of their characters across all the lines and order parts. Order a replacement gun. Order a comb for your My Little Pony. Order guns for G.I. Joes. If they get, when they get Power Rangers, order extra swords, or maybe even have only online weapons like the Gold Ranger shield, but the a different coloring to go with the Red Ranger or the Black Ranger, so the coloring fits a little bit better. You know, being able to go online and have you customize your figure with these 3D printed parts, because the CAD file could be sent. Now, Brian, tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm just doing this from an extreme layman's point of view. But they could have a hard drive full of these CAD files, and they receive your order, and then they send the CAD file to the printer. The printer prints it, like I think what sort of what Shapeways does to a degree, and then they just mail it out to you.
Yeah.
So you're ordering your parts. You're ordering, like, say for example, if this was a Hasbro toy, this Rouge, she only has one black gun. I would like for her to have had two of the small black pistols. I would like to be able to order a second black pistol in some fashion, so she could double wield on my display. You've got G.I. Joes that are missing weapons or hats. Shipwreck's missing his parrot. You know, you've got a thousand different characters. Again, it's a lot of minutia, but it's very easy to print. You could print it, and you could say, these are coming unpainted. You have to paint them yourself. Or if it's a gun, you can do it in black plastic. Granted, a parrot would be kind of harder to do because there's all the colors and stuff. But again, I'm just saying as an example.
Well, I mean, they're multicolor. I'm sorry. They're multicolor printers.
Yeah. Okay. So if when this gets to a point that it can be done on a regular basis and fans can customize their figures using legitimate Hasbro designs and Hasbro money going to Hasbro for these designs, it seems like that's a lot of money left on the table from a volume standpoint for something that takes very little interaction than saying print file, buff it, box it, and send it. So I think that's going to be money left on the table if they don't do this properly when it can be done.
I actually like a lot of what you're onto here.
Me too.
With this idea. I mean, Shapeways proves that the logistics can be viable, even if there is a bit of a lead time between placing the order and actually getting the product finished and shipped out. But like, understanding that going in, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of potential there for doing accessory packs, which are not really marketable at retail. Like, you've got a pretty good concept going here, Don. I'm actually fairly relieved after what you were starting out with.
Yeah, Don. There are multicolor printers. Basically, you have the way that they would have it. It would just have multiple extruders at the end, and it would swap out. It would basically, the extruder would flip that has one color out of the way, and the other would go into its place. Typically, right now, I think for commercial, end user 3D printers, it's usually only like two colors. There may be more, but I'm certain something higher end could do that. And heck, there's probably no reason that a higher end one couldn't just do it with one extruder and just swap out the stuff. But right now, like with mine, if there was any way of trying to put different different filament through it, it would get bound up, and it would get clogged. Yeah.
So it's not like the old inkjet printers where you combine all your colors to get a facsimile of black. It's not like you could just do that in some fashion, because it's all separate colors that have to be done separately.
For an end user, I mean, in the future, and heck, and for commercial grade ones now, there may be a way where it can, in real time, instead of like working specifically from filament, like ones that use metal, don't have like, I'm certain they don't have like a filament that's metal. They probably have like a heated vat or something that has whatever the material is melted. You could probably add pigment as you go. That's possible. I don't know how cost effective that would be. I'm by no means an expert. I've owned two 3D printers. But
well, that pretty much makes you an expert on the internet, Brian.
Yes, I've owned two 3D printers. So, but yeah, the 3D printer, as far as end users go, the 3D printer technology has a long way to go, I think, before we are printing toys. But to your point of printing guns and stuff like that, if they wanted to sell us a CAD file to do that, they could totally do that now. And
because I'm seeing, like, for example, you have Shipwreck, and you need his, because his pistol is very specific. He carries a flintlock looking kind of gun, if I remember correctly. And you can, let's say you've lost his gun. for 99 cents and $1.25 shipping or whatever the case may be. You can have them send you his very specific gun. Again, you could probably go on the internet and find that gun there, but if you need a bunch of parts or you want to make your own figure, then you could do a bulk order from one place and get everything sent at one time, even though you would have that little bit of lead up time like y'all were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there's potential to the idea, and some of it probably could be done with 3D printing, especially commercial 3D printing technology that exists now.
Because didn't Hasbro at one time talk about how they were going to allow some fan-created things to be done for, like, My Little Pony as... But I never heard anything much past it was going to be a thing, and then I never heard much else about it. So I'm not sure.
I think they called the initiative Super Fan Art. It was something they were doing in association with Shapeways, but I don't know whatever became of it.
Who was just doing this?
Hasbro was basically granting limited, I don't want to call it license exactly, but they were saying like they would approve use of some of their IP in certain contexts via Shapeway.
They were doing that with, I don't know if it was Shapeway, but they had an agreement like that for Dungeons and Dragons printing minis based on, or at least making the CAD files available. I forgot, there's a subreddit that has it in there that I read a year or two back, but there was some sort of loose affiliation or loose approval about printing some of the characters in minis. Don't forget, Mattel also actually tried to sell a 3D printer. I think it was probably a big flop, but Mattel showed at Toy Fair last year a 3D printer that they actually sold. I think it was like $300. It was meant to print toys, and it looked really primitive. Hey Don, any other thoughts or anything you want to get out?
No, just the only thing I'll say is everybody that's looking for a Titan Class Crypticon, be sure to try to help out your fellow fans. So you know, if you have friends in the area, everyone try to help everybody out, try to get these, because that's a hell of a toy for $50. Like I said, I wasn't planning on buying it at all. But for $50, that's definitely a toy I want in my collection. So everybody, try to help everybody out if you can, because once all these are gone, they're going to be gone. And that's been this episode of It's a Don Deal. Thank you for joining us this week. And as always, don't forget, you can call us at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And again, join us next time for It's a Don Deal.